Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the opportunity you've given us once again to be able to gather and get into your word. Help us now as we get into further studies about your miracles and wonders that we can see all around us. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Continuing our miracles and wonders series, if you will, turn to Psalm 19. Now here in Psalm 19, we see some of the miraculous wonders that we can see when we look up into the sky. It reads, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." Like all over the world, everyone is able to look up into the sky and see the wondrous, miraculous creation that is all around us, that just proclaims the existence of God, that proclaims the Creator and the majesty of Him. As it continues in verse 4, "Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Because when you look out and you see the wondrous creation all around, that humbles you when you sincerely acknowledge what you were looking at and the awesomeness of all of it, then you come to Him humbly when you really acknowledge what you clearly can see all around, and that is the proclamation of the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, all around us, as it says over in Romans chapter 1. So now every time you look up and see the sky, every time you look up and see clouds, the sun, the moon, the stars, the vast cosmos that we are a part of, we can acknowledge and proclaim, created by God, and proclaims His existence. All right, now if you will, turn on all the way over to Matthew chapter 1. We can see here, as it speaks of the miracles and wonders of the ministry and the earthly ministry, you might say, of Jesus Christ coming down to take on flesh to live amongst us, as we see here the record of His birth into physical form to be amongst us, in Matthew chapter 1. Pick it up in verse 18. It reads, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." This acknowledges that Mary is a virgin, had not had relations, and that she's of child of the Holy Ghost, not of Joseph, because where it says espoused, that's engaged to. They had not had physical relations yet. Verse 19, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." See, when he finds out that here we are engaged and not officially consummated the marriage and Mary's already pregnant. She said, well, what am I going to do with you? You've done committed adultery. If I proclaim this and make it public, you're going to become criticized. You're going to be condemned and maybe even stoned for being a harlot and an adulteress. So he was pondering in his mind, what should I do? Here I've engaged to this woman that I haven't had any relations with, and she's pregnant. What should I do? In verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And that is the miracle. And it's amazing testimony to Joseph, how he immediately responds to this, believing, because it shows here that he's a man of faith and trust in the Lord. And when this is given to him, and he accepts it and understands it and acknowledges the miracle of the virgin birth that was prophesied all the way back in Isaiah, as he continues here in verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. So he goes ahead and takes her as his wife, trusting the message that was given to him of the miracle birth, of the miracle impregnation of Mary. And as I said earlier, an awesome testimony to the faith and trust of Joseph. A note in verse 25, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Knew her not, which is a reference to sexual relations. They did not have any sexual relations, even though he officially married her, being pregnant, and they didn't have relations until after Jesus was born. Then they had other kids, boys and girls. So we see the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ by way of the Holy Ghost and the Virgin Mary. Now let's look further in chapter 2, in Matthew chapter 2. As it reads, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. This is interesting that these wise men would have been trained like the Chaldeans and so forth back in the time of Daniel. They were astronomers. They studied the sky because we're given the reference to the stars being for signs all the way back in the day of creation on day 4. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Now these signs. So it isn't just signs for which time of the year the season is, whether it's fall or summer or spring or winter, whatever, but to communicate to us. And this is an example of that. The signs that were seen. Now, these were very well educated in the study of the stars and very well knowledgeable of the prophecies of the Old Testament, the prophecies of the coming of the Messiah. So with those two knowledges, they put that together and knew that this was the time, this was the sign of the arrival of Jesus Christ in the flesh. So they sought out to find him, and they were following the star. So we wonder today, well, how could they see the star to specify exactly where it is? Just like we have our GPS locators and so forth, you can pinpoint a spot. There are ways to look at the stars themselves through triangulation and pinpoint exactly where you are. Ancient sailors and navigators understand this and would use this to be able to plot their journey and to understand where they are located based on the location of the stars and the time of year and so forth. So through the brightness and the image of the star that they had seen, seeing it fulfilled, was able to zero in and know where to go. So they head that direction. As we see it continue here in verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Why was they troubled? Herod, because he didn't want to give up his throne as king, and Jerusalem, all of Jerusalem, because they didn't want to upset the Romans, that, hey, there's another king here, and stir up a lot of trouble from them. As it continues, verse 4, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now he brings together all the religious experts, the chief priests and the scribes. What do the prophecies say, and where will he be born? Verse 5, and when they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Of course, speaking of Jesus Christ. Then Herod, when he had heard privily, called the wise men and inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. So Herod wants to calculate, when did these folks first see this star? When did the wise men first see the star so that he could determine how old Jesus would be by that time? Then he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. Acknowledging here that by this time he was a young child, not an infant in a manger in the stables. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. That wasn't his intent. He wanted to find him and kill him. Because when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now this has brought up a lot of questions and curiosities of how the star that you would look way up in the sky and be able to pinpoint a general area was able to lead them to exactly where the house was. This shows the miraculous power of the Lord being able to use a star in a way to light a path to the exact location, to the exact house. Exactly how this all would have appeared to anyone else, we're not sure, but we know these men were given that vision, that information from the Lord to bring them to the house. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. When they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Once again, we see the miracle here of Joseph being communicated to by the angel of the Lord, helping him, guiding him, and here warning him to leave because Herod is wanted to come and kill the young child Jesus. And Joseph, being faithful and obedient, does exactly what he's told. He's when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. So we see these miracles, these wonders, this communication directly from the Lord by way of these events that are recorded. So many things that are in here that gives us the confidence in knowing the prophecies being fulfilled, the communication from the Lord directly to people as they need it. And it is definitely awesome and a miraculous wonder. All right, now turn on over to Matthew chapter 4. And we see the adult Jesus, about 30 years old by now, and beginning his public ministry and healing folks. In Matthew chapter 4, pick it up verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. To be able to come down and take on flesh, live amongst us, and then to be so concerned about the general public, to want to heal them, to want to give the message of the kingdom being the body of Christ, the kingdom being the born-again church family, the family of God, and that's what he came to present, and that's what he came to offer, and the miracles that he performed before them were to help tenderize their heart and help them to understand that this is something that is very miraculous, something to be believed, something to be trusted. As it continues in verse 24, And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Now these folks were there because they saw these miracles, they saw these people being healed, and they said, well, wow, he can do this, maybe he can help me as well. So they were really there for their own benefit. They were there because they wanted something from the Lord. And it's sad to say that that's what happens way too often. When people come to church or when they start to associate with Christians, it's because they're there to get something out of it for themselves, rather than to give to the Lord and to show their appreciation to the Lord for what he's already given all of us. They're more interested in what can they get out of it, what can they receive for themselves, which was the attitude of most of those multitudes that were following Jesus and seeing these miraculous healings. All right, now go on over to Matthew chapter 8, where we can see some further references to him healing. And as we see here in Matthew chapter 8, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy was cleaned. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now, you would think that this man would have done what the Lord told him to do, in gratitude for the blessings of being healed. But he didn't. He spread it all around, as we see here in verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Now this is an interesting setting here, because the centurion was a Roman soldier. a officer and showing this faith in Jesus Christ. As it continues, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh. To my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. Now here he was expressing how he acknowledged the power and authority of Jesus Christ to merely command something and it happened. As Jesus expresses here in verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Now here in verse 11, he's referring to how there will be others outside of the family of the children of Israel, and other people, the Gentiles, that will come in and be a part of the family of God. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's acknowledging here, but there'll be many of the kingdom, here speaking of the Israelites, that will not turn to the Lord, that will reject the Lord and be cast out into the lake of fire for eternity. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Note how he expresses that belief. Do you truly believe when you come to the Lord and ask for something that you will receive what you have asked for? Belief is a very important part in the fulfillment of the request, in the fulfillment of a prayer of concern that you lift up and give to the Lord. Do you believe it, or are you just throwing it out there and, well, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't, we'll see? This man believed, and it was expressed that you will receive what you believe. As it continues, verse 13, And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour, expressing and acknowledging that the centurion had the faith. Verse 14, And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Note, so simple, so miraculous as well. She was sick, she was laying there, come in, didn't ask her, didn't find out how much faith Peter had or how much faith she had, but he saw the need, and he come in and he took care of it. All right, jump on over to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23. And we see here a setting where Jesus is in a ship and the disciples are there, and it proclaims how Jesus has authority over all of his creation. In Matthew chapter 8, pick it up here in verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Acknowledging, it's like, you're in a ship with Jesus Christ, the authority over everything, and you're worried about a storm? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm, expressing his power, his authority over all of his creation that he spoke into existence. Verse 27, But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? It's because he's the one who spoke everything into existence. He's the one that controls all of existence. It was created by him and for him. He can manipulate it and use it in any way he pleases. And that is truly miraculous and wondrous. We'll continue in Matthew as we see other miracles that were recorded. But that's all we have time for. Let's go ahead and close as we pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we have these records to go back to, that we have this preserved. We thank you so much for preserving it for us to be able to study, so we can see the miracles and wonders of the past, as we can express as we look around, and we can see miracles and wonders still today. Help us to know and acknowledge that you are the source of all of that you are the ultimate authority and power over everything, and we come to you humbly and ask forgiveness and ask guidance. And thank you so much for your mercy as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you.